LeVar Burton has been on our TV screen since 1977, first as Kunta Kinte in Roots, and eventually as Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge on Star Trek: The Next Generation. But I, probably like most people my age, first got to know him as a host of Reading Rainbow. Good morning and welcome to Central Standard. I'm Maria Carter. Now, LeVar Burton is exploring a new frontier, turning Reading Rainbow from a TV show into an app aimed at encouraging kids to read. Joining us from his home in Sherman Oaks, California, is LeVar Burton. Welcome, LeVar.
Morning, Maria.
Well, LeVar, what inspired you to help create the Reading Rainbow app?
Well, you know, back in the day, in the 80s, when you were growing up, television was the radical technology that we used to promote literature to kids. And today's kids only use television as a single screen during the course of any given day. If you want to reach today's kids, you need to be on a mobile device.
Well, and walk us through the app a little bit. What exactly does it do?
Well, just like Reading Rainbow, the television series, we really, through the engagement factor of the tablet device, are able to feature two of the staples of the Reading Rainbow television show, books and videos. The idea of Reading Rainbow as a television show was always to connect the real world to the literature that we were featuring on the show through the video field trip, and the digital medium gives us the opportunity to do that very brilliantly on the app. So we are a library of books and videos. Think of us as the Netflix for kids, where you can discover, all wrapped in an experience of discovery. Kids can discover books that they want to read based on categories of the titles of the islands that are floating in the sky. As the user, you are in the cockpit of your own hot air balloon, and you can navigate to these different islands that are themed, and that's where you'll find books and videos that are tied to that theme.
Now, what's the content? Will we remember some of the books from our own childhood, or is it newer material?
These are books that we license from publishers. It's all real literature. These aren't books that were written. You know, this isn't made up literature. These are real books that have been published, and there are a few that that were featured on the original television show, but most of them are books that have been published within the last few years.
And will kids still be familiar with LeVar Burton when they use this app?
Oh, absolutely. I continue to be the host and sort of Pied Piper and take you on the video field trips. Absolutely.
Reading Rainbow really seemed to be different from a lot of educational programs out there. It wasn't trying to teach them to read so much as get them interested in books. What was the thought behind that approach?
Well, when the show was created, the idea was to really use the engaging medium of television to address what teachers called the summer loss phenomenon. When we first began the program, we were only on during the summer months, and then eventually we were on year-round. But basically, when a child is cracking the code, is learning, you know, how to read and making that decision as to whether they'll be a reader or not, during that 3-month summer vacation, their reading and comprehension skills suffer because they don't engage in enough consistent reading. So the idea was, let's go to where the kids are hanging out in front of the television and try and keep that activity of reading a more consistent part of their lives over that 3-month break. And what we found was that we had great success in getting kids to read over the summer and get excited about books. And so their reading and comprehension skills not only stayed consistent, but in many cases improved and increased. So it was really about exercising that reading muscle and cementing a lifelong passion for the written word in children.
Doing an educational children's show seems like kind of an unusual career move for an actor. How did you get involved in Reading Rainbow?
Well, my mother is a teacher, and there are many teachers in my family. We're pretty much all teachers. We're educators in my family. Really, it was the Roots experience that showed me unequivocally the power of the medium of television. And when the idea was presented to me a few years later of using this very powerful medium to attract kids to literature, I thought it made perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, what was the last book you read?
Well, I'm like my mother, reading several all at the same time. I've always got some science fiction going, and these days I'm really hooked on these compendiums of science fiction, the best in science fiction literature over the last 20 years. And right now I'm reading one. It's science fiction short literature. Let's see what's here by my bedside. I've got the Max Brooks World War Z that I'm about to start. And this is, Tell Me a Tale, a Novel of the Old South. Those are just a couple of the things that are in the queue and that I've got going.
Well, you know, going back to the app a little bit, it's subscription-based, as I understand it. Are you concerned that that might leave some kids out, whereas, you know, TV, they could always turn on?
Absolutely. Well, we are acutely aware that not everyone can afford a $500 tablet device, which is why we are working feverishly. This summer we will be porting the experience to the web, which is much more universally accessible by folks. And that web version of the Reading Rainbow app will also serve as the template for the offering that we will be making for schools. We are creating a product specifically for teachers to use in classrooms, because I believe that teachers deserve to have a Reading Rainbow product that they can use as well. The television series was and continues to be the most used television resource in our nation's classrooms, and I want the app to be available to schools as well.
And you mentioned Roots a moment ago. That's where you got your break, really, and it was your very first audition, as I understand it. That's really unbelievable to me.
My life has been a series of seemingly miraculous events tied together that really have given me an opportunity to have not just a wonderful life, but I really believe that I've had an opportunity to make a difference in this world. And you know, coming from the family that I do, my mother had alternate careers as a teacher and then a social worker. My father was in the military. I sort of grew up knowing that one's life should be about service.
One of the shows that I think you know, was another service, and I completely forgot about this until I was looking on IMDb, was you were part of the show Captain Planet.
Yeah. that
I also really enjoyed when I was, I don't know, a preteen, I guess. And, you know, what's that like, being involved in voiceover work, you know, doing a voice for an animated series like that?
Most actors I know, in fact, every actor I know, loves doing voiceover work, Maria. There's no makeup involved. It's storytelling, I think, at its most pure, because it's you and a microphone and a script, and you really get to invent in a way that was designed to play on the imagination. Of the many cartoon shows I've done over the years, I think Captain Planet is my favorite, because I loved the idea. And Kwame was just such a cool character. And he got to call the Planeteers together. Let our powers combine.
I realized very embarrassedly a few years ago I could still sing the Captain Planet theme song.
You're kidding me.
No, it was just one of those things. Someone mentioned Captain Planet, and before you know it, the two of us were singing the song. And
you got to love that, and that is all the proof you need to recognize that, you know, the medium that we enjoy, right? The television shows, music that we listen to, the movies that we watch, they have tremendous power and influence in our lives. And today, of course, with the tablet computers, with mobile technology, we are so engaged with that which we consume that, you know, it is undeniable the influence that it wields in our lives. And so I like to say that all media is educational. The question is, what are we teaching? And so I know that the cat is out of the bag. We're not going to put that genie back in the bottle. Kids are going to be tied to mobile technology for the foreseeable future, for the rest of their lives. And I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that there's something nourishing, something enriching, something healthy for them as an alternative to the gaming that they will inevitably be engaged with as well.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Maria Carter. Our guest is actor LeVar Burton, and we're discussing his work with the Reading Rainbow app and his other work. You mentioned kind of, you know, having a lot of roles that, you know, had a little bit bigger purpose. Was that a conscious decision?
Well, not initially. I mean, Roots was my first audition. It was my first job. And as such, it really opened my eyes to the powerful nature of the medium when used effectively. It's all about entertainment, certainly, but I believe that when we do our jobs right, it is absolutely possible to educate, to enrich, to enlighten, and so Roots set the platinum standard for me right out of the box, and I have tried to, as best as I have been able, to maintain that standard throughout my career, because it's a good idea.
Kansas City, do you have a question about LeVar's work in children's literacy or in acting? Join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. LeVar, it sounds like you are a science fiction fan. Were you a fan of the original Star Trek series?
Absolutely, Maria. I watched the original series back in the day. I've always been a reader. My mother was a tremendous influence on me, and I read a lot as a kid. Early on, my body of literature choice became science fiction literature, mostly because I think it encouraged me to imagine, the world as I wanted to see it, as opposed to sometimes how it really was. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and it was not always easy being a black kid growing up in America. So the idea that science fiction literature has always asked what I believe to be two of the most powerful words in combination in language, what if, right? What if? It always drew me to the genre. It wasn't often when I was reading science fiction as a kid that I was encountering heroes in the pages of those science fiction books who looked like me. And Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future really stood out. So I was a fan early on.
Was there pressure, being a fan of the series and then getting cast in it, that, that series has so many fans out there, when that first Star Trek The Next Generation came out? Were you worried about the reaction to it at all?
No, I wasn't. As a fan myself, I was nothing but excited. But it was a bit puzzling to me when we first premiered. The media played the story as the loyalists to the original series were very uncomfortable about the attempt to put lightning in the bottle a second time with The Next Generation. I always figured that genuine Star Trek fans were open-minded by their very nature, but I certainly understand the feeling of being a bit skeptical and having maybe an unreasonable attachment to the original. And I have found over time that most people, if there was any resistance to The Next Generation at all, once they sat down and watched an episode or two, they were also summarily hooked.
Well, your character, Geordi, he was blind, but he wore a visor that helped him see, in fact, better than the people around him. As an actor, what was it like wearing that visor?
Well, therein lies the rub, because in putting the visor on, about 85% of my vision was actually taken away. So I was a sighted man playing a blind man who wore a device that enabled him to see more than people around him. However, when wearing the device, I could see far less.
So you probably got an appreciation for what it was actually like if you in fact were blind.
Exactly, and I really had to act through the visor or act around it. You know, covering an actor's eyes is ultimately not a very kind thing to do, and so it was really my job to portray all of the confidence and energy of a chief engineer of the flagship of the Federation, and also as an actor not bump into the furniture.
Okay, well, we're going to a caller now. Ricardo, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How's it going?
All right. And what's your question, Ricardo?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I've loved you for so long. I've watched all the shows and followed you on Twitter, and I remember when you got into a wreck or something and you posted a picture of your car and your license plate said you couldn't put on it. Mm. Thought it was awesome. But my question is, you're really into promoting books, but have you ever written a book, or are you writing anything?
I am. I'm writing my first children's book right now, and I'm really excited about the project. Wrote a science fiction novel or a post-apocalyptic vision of the future many years ago for Warner Aspect, but this is my first attempt in the children's book genre, and I'm really excited.
Well, one thing I've been curious about is you directed episodes of Star Trek as well. How is that experience being behind the camera compared to being on the camera for a show?
I love directing. I like to call it, aside from skydiving, it's the most fun you can have with your clothes on. Directing uses so much more of me as an artist. Acting, it can be a very myopic way to look at storytelling. And more than anything else, I really do see myself as a storyteller. And in the visual medium, being the director, at the center of a creative effort, really gives me an opportunity to use so much more of what I consider to be what I can bring to the table in terms of not just knowledge of storytelling from an actor's point of view, but leadership skills and the ability to get an entire team of people moving in the same direction and bringing the best out of people, be they in front of the camera or behind. I think it's a great job.
And when you're an actor on the show, you probably have some attachment to the character, I'm guessing. Do you bring something else when you're on the show to that directing experience?
I think you do. I think you bring an intimacy with the other cast members that give you the opportunity to even go even deeper. And, when you're on a television series as an actor, at some point you begin to know the characters better than the writers do, and so day in, day out, you're playing these characters. When one of us, and Jonathan Frakes was really the first of us to step across the line and sit in the director's chair, when one of us was directing, there was always a challenge to find something that hadn't been done before, an angle that with the camera or a note from a character that we hadn't seen yet. And so I think that there was always a challenge to find something to find a note that hadn't been played, to find something that we hadn't seen yet, and obviously that just sort of elevates the canon.
Well, what's it like now going to conventions like Planet Comic Con this weekend in Kansas City?
I like meeting the fans an awful lot, and this past year, because of the, we had a 25th anniversary of Next Generation, and this weekend in Kansas City will be no different. It is all of us together, save Patrick. Patrick is still doing his play with Sir Ian McKellen on Broadway. But we will all be there this weekend. Michael Dorn, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, Marina Sirtis, Kate McFadden, and the very lovely and talented Will Wheaton. So we will all be in the house in Kansas City this weekend. And you know, we are an incredibly close cast. When I got married many years ago, Brent was my best man, and my groomsmen were Michael, Jonathan, and Patrick. So we are very close. We were all together for lunch yesterday. We really do love each other, and so we look forward to these weekends, because not only do we get to spend a little time with the fans, but we also get to spend time with one another.
Yeah, I was watching some of the videos online of, you know, you and various cast members, you know, doing, I guess, a panel discussion, and it really just seemed like almost like a family reunion.
Yeah, absolutely. We recognize how rare it is to have worked together for so long. And one, to have fans still care about coming out and seeing us and sharing in, you know, the goodness that the richness that the show has brought into all of our lives. But to actually still like one another, after all this time is also not that common.
Well, you know, when I watch reruns of Star Trek, especially, I'm always struck by the feeling of the future is now. You know, I've put down my tablet to watch it, and, you know, I'm watching Commander Riker put down a tablet that he was just reading on. And do you think, I mean, Star Trek and other science fiction shows really help inspire kind of where things are headed?
I think they always have. Again, going back to, you know, to what if, right? Science fiction has always invited us to really invent the world that we want to see. And I think Gene's vision, especially because it is such a positive vision of the future, has brought enormous value to life on Earth right here, right now, over the last almost 50 years. And that's no small thing. I think the inspirational value that Star Trek has been responsible for in popular culture can hardly be calculated. And I definitely believe that the inspiration that it has provided in terms of the advancement of technology in this realm is obvious. Flip cell phones, earpiece communicators, tablet computers. These are things they are working on technology now that will become the tricorder, the visor. We are working on technology that will enable things like the holodeck and the replicator with 3D computers. So I really believe that which we imagine is what we tend to manifest in this world, and I think Star Trek has been responsible for the imaginings of a lot of brilliant people.
Well, LeVar Burtons, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Maria.
And you can get the Reading Rainbow app on the iTunes Store or on Kindle. LeVar Burton will be appearing at Planet Comic-Con Saturday afternoon at 1 at Bartle Hall. He'll be appearing along with his fellow cast member, Brent Spiner, who you may remember as everyone's favorite android, Data. And speaking of Planet Comic-Con, KCUR has put together a Nerd's Guide to Kansas City. You can find it at kcur.org/centralstandard. Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me? Well, Planet Comic-Con celebrates science fiction, comic books, gaming, even if you're not headed to the convention. If you're downtown, you might run into someone dressed as a Klingon, Stormtrooper, or really any science fiction character. It's called cosplay. As part of our ongoing community engagement project called Tell KCUR, we took to the airwaves and social media this week and asked, if you were going to dress up for Comic-Con, which sci-fi character would you pick and why? And here to talk to us about your would-be superhero wardrobe is Allison Rollitz. She's KCUR's social media producer. Welcome, Allison.
Thanks, Maria. It's hard to follow LeVar Burton.
No pressure. Your laugh is almost as good. So.
Oh, man.
Well, so, Allison, what did you hear back?
Well, Maria, you know, I think we, when we went into this, we were really excited about hearing back the different types of characters that people would write in and call in. But I don't think we expected the variety of people that have called in. I'm going to go through kind of a really quick list here, and they're really kind of all over the place. We've got Hermione Granger and Katniss Everdeen from Harry Potter, Andy Knightley from the movie The World's End. That was a little bit of a surprise for us. Iron Man, of course, an anime character, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, Delirium or Death from the Sandman comics, Jabba the Hutt, Velma from Scooby-Doo, a little bit of an outlier there, and then the list goes on and on, and of course we had at least one Captain Kirk from Star Trek. And we also, with this question, we really wanted to know why people were connected to these characters, and we had some people call in. I really think you might like what they have to say.
I would have to say Buffy Summers from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was very developmental during my young age. She taught me that just because I was a female and small at that didn't mean that I needed to be afraid of anything.
And the obvious choice here is Batman, because he is the only one who accomplishes everything necessary without the use of superhuman powers.
I would be the Incredible Hulk, because no matter how big I got, my pants would still fit.
I love that one. That's my favorite answer of the whole thing.
Well, that's quite a range of characters. Are there any takeaways from all that variety?
Really just that, you know, I think, you know, people think of Comic-Con as a kind of a sci-fi only convention. It really is like a celebration of almost all things that are pop culture. And I think people, that are really kind of fanatic about a lot of these shows, they just get so into it. And I think they're just so excited to be around kind of people like them, and they want to show off their individuality. They don't want to be on the same team.
Well, were any characters more popular than others?
We did, you know, as we said, there were a lot of like individual kind of pieces being thrown out here, but Doctor Who was probably the most common one.
I support that.
Yeah, you support that. I'm going to share some tweets that some people wrote in when they said why they connected to Doctor Who. Like Matthew, he tweeted us, because he's the greatest hero without powers and he has his sonic screwdriver. And Justin, he tweeted us, Doctor Who, he's brave enough to resolve most conflicts by understanding those he is up against, rarely resorting to violence, and I admire that. And you have to admit, who wouldn't want to have all the time and space as their backyard? And, you know, frankly, I couldn't argue with that either.
Well, what about people who don't want to dress up? Did anyone mention that?
Well, yes. You know, we really wanted this to be, you know, a really fun question to really get at the excitement and the culture of Comic-Con. But part of that culture is there are people that kind of like going and seeing the people, but they don't want to dress up themselves. Like Steven, he tweeted us, you know, I'm not doing cosplay since I'm a professional, I'm a guest. But if I did, I guess my costume would be my lost dignity. And he's being a little melodramatic there. I don't think he's being cruel at all. But he's pointing to kind of a little bit of a stigma that's kind of going on even within that community.
Well, I noticed our staff members got pretty into this question. Who is in the KCUR Justice League?
yeah, we did have a few staff members that got pretty excited about this question. You know, the producer of this show, he said he likes to model his life after Jean-Luc Picard, the captain on Star Trek Next Generation. We had our community engagement director. He said he liked Flash Gordon because of his need for speed. you know, and I had chimed in myself and I picked Wonder Woman, you know. I dress like her as a little kid. Why not now? I don't think I've really grown up. What about you, Marie? I don't know if you answered this question.
I did. I said okay. I would be Zoe from Firefly.
Ah, that's right. And why? Why do you like
just
Zoe?
Another strong female character. She can kick it, I believe, just about any guy or girl's butt. So
if I've got time for one more, I really liked this listener, his costume pick. He kind of got around the whole whether you dress up or not by picking Clark Kent. And he said because of his understated suit and ties, much better than tights and a cape. So I guess if you are going, you can find a way to dress up without dressing up at all.
Well, Allison, if someone listening now wants to share their costume pick with us, is there any way they can still chime in?
Sure. The conversation is online all the time. Just use the hashtag TellKCUR on Twitter.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us, Allison.
Thanks, Maria. Live long and prosper.
Okay. Well, Alan Z.